This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Good to hear from you.
Nice to speak to you. All right, so how are things going in Australia? Schools still open? Everybody getting back to life as normal?
The answer is yes to all of the above. And the good news is that the young student at Moriah College, the Jewish student in Sydney who we reported had been diagnosed positive with the virus, is recovering well. He's obviously at home. But all the Jewish schools are open, yes. And the majority of shuls are open as well.
Wow,
some
amazing.
Are taking their time to open.
Yes.
But the community is pretty much back on track, but obviously maintaining social distance, etc. Yes.
Okay, so that is very good to hear. Sports and television icon apologizes for photoshopping Hitler into a rugby league crowd. What? Who could ever have thought that this was a good idea?
I know. So what that is about is, as I've mentioned before on this program, rugby league is the number one sport here in terms of the codes. Rugby union comes a distant third. I'm personally sorry to say. Rugby league is the big one. And there are two brothers who have both played for Australia, Andrew and Matthew Johns, both brilliant players. So one of them, Matthew Johns, now has his own television program, and it's all about sport and rugby league, et cetera, et cetera. And I've actually known him for some years because he had a radio program, now has his own television program. So at the end of last week, rugby league matches have started up again here in Australia, but with no crowds. So they play before in front of empty stadiums. And so the game, one of the matches was screened live on television. And because there were no crowds there, somebody in Matthew Johns' team, one of the producers, no doubt, thought it would be a good idea at the time to Photoshop crowds onto the television screen.
Right.
And who do they insert into the middle of the crowd? Hitler himself. So,
I know I should be offended, but I actually think it's quite funny.
It is funny, but it is offensive, but yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
Incredible. So this came to us, from many members of the community, and then a couple of hours later, and so here's the good news, is that Matthew Johns himself called me a couple of hours after the offensive, photoshopping went up on screen of Hitler at this rugby league game. And he called me himself the next morning, it happened at night, and could not have been more apologetic. I know that it's devastating. I know that the emotions are raw. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have done it. I apologize, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and one has to acknowledge that sort of response. And not only that, but then 48 hours later, when there was the next edition of the program on television, where they're going to discuss all sort of, you know, serious issues about games and what have you, he begins the program by looking straight down the barrel of the camera and saying, I want to begin my program by saying that something terrible happened on my previous program, and I apologize, and apologize to Vic Aladev, and apologize to the Jewish Board of Deputies, apologize to the Jewish community. He could not have been more upfront, owning what he did, owning that it should not have happened, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, it's the outcome we always hope for when these sorts of things happen, that we didn't go looking for the apology. We didn't, you know, wag our finger in his face. He called up, he made the apology. And so, you know, so we all move on. And, in addition to that, he's undertaken to have a guided tour of the Sydney Jewish Museum, which is a Holocaust museum, when it reopens, probably in July. And so the issue has gone. But I can tell you that because he played for Australia and has his own television program, he is an icon in the sporting world. And everything I've just said to you, including his quote about apologizing to the Jewish community, the Jewish Board of Deputies, and to me as well, went around to over 150 newspaper, radio, television outlets. I mean, it was extraordinary the coverage that this got just because of the profile which he carries.
Yeah, and look, I think it's incredible because people do make mistakes. I'm not sure that this is the worst mistake in the world. I think it is.
Exactly.
Obviously, it can be it is offensive and it can be offensive, but it can't be. It's hard to construe it as being malicious. I think at best it's in poor taste, or at worst it's in poor taste, and it's insensitive. But malicious, I'm just not, you know, I'm not convinced about. And the fact that they reacted so quickly and dealt with it, you know, it's just always, we always talk about it on the show, when companies or people do something wrong, just own it. Own it, deal with it, confront it directly, apologize, and your people will immediately understand and recognize the authenticity of your apology. If it's not sincere, they'll know. And this certainly sounds like a case where the sincerity is there, which is tremendous, I think.
It is, and I echo and endorse everything, everything you've just said. Is that, and in fact, in the response which I gave to media, was that I commended him. I commended him for owning and acknowledging
Absolutely.
That it was a poor error of judgment.
100%.
You know, and if, exactly as you say, if everyone who does these sorts of things owns it and acknowledges up front, well, you know, Diana.
Exactly,
it's, 100%. You know, we all make mistakes.
I was just going to say, and I don't think that we should assume that any of us are above it. We just don't. We don't always recognize the sensitivity when it pertains to others. So I think that's a great lesson learned. Government responds humanely to request for exemption from lockdown. Tell us about this.
So in this one, so I've had a number of calls in my role as CEO of the Board of Deputies. So. Just a few days ago, the most moving one, I had a call from an elderly member of the community who has a close friend who has been diagnosed with just a few days to live. So the critically ill lady's grandson, who's a young man of 24 years old, flew back to Australia to hopefully see his grandmother before she passes away. But he's in lockdown. Everyone who comes into the country here has to go into 2 weeks isolation. And so because he's in lockdown, his concern is he may not be able to see his grandmother before she passes on. And so a friend of the ill lady contacted me. Could I do anything about it? I contacted the Premier's department, and within hours, they made an exemption for this young man to be able to leave his hotel every day for 2 hours a day to go and visit his critically ill grandmother. And, you know, it was just great to see that, you know, bureaucracy didn't get in the way, and they saw the humanitarianism in the request. It wasn't just spurious, and they allowed him to visit his grandmother, you know, and just
Amazing.
In time. So
Amazing.
Just before, you know, she became unable even to recognize people.
Right.
So, and I've had a number of calls like that. We're very gratifying to see that there has been humane responses from the powers that be in the government, recognizing issues, and not obviously everybody and every appeal, but in cases like that where there's been a genuine need, they've been responding in a very humane way.
Absolutely amazing. And finally, Jewish leaders endorse Aboriginal call for a national voice.
So last week was the issue, the buzzword in terms of the Aboriginal people is reconciliation. And that, it's a very loaded term, and it's reconciliation with the 250 years of dispossession, the genocide that happened, pushing Aboriginal people off the land when white people arrived, et cetera, et cetera. So there's an ongoing, unfulfilled, if I can put it that way, need for reconciliation of all of the above, all of the past. And so last week was National Reconciliation Week, and no surprise, Jewish people are involved in very much in helping lead that whole reconciliation movement. And so last week, because it was Reconciliation Week, a lot of Jewish organizations, 21 in fact, came together to issue a collective statement endorsing the need for there to be a representative body of the Aboriginal people to the federal government so that it can put forward their needs And I can say, in the subject, given that the terrible eruption we're seeing in the United States of America, the Aboriginal population in this country is only about 3% of the whole population. But the percentage of Aboriginal people in prisons is terrible. It's, I think it's the last saw a number, it's over 20%. Mm. Now, there are obviously all sorts of sociological reasons and other reasons, etc. But it's, but it, it is a social sore, and it's something which, it's an ongoing issue which needs to be addressed, and it, continual attempts at addressing. And good to see that, as I said, 21 Jewish organizations came out collectively together to endorse and recognize the need for Aboriginal issues to be addressed and taken forward.
Absolutely amazing, and very, very important to be part of this type of initiative. It's about to go 6:30. Vic Aladev, thank you as always. Very interesting conversation. Vic is the CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies.